It's time now for Living Theology, a weekly program in which Dr. John B. McDonald seeks to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ, living with competence and joy. With today's episode, here's Dr. McDonald.
As a schoolboy, I sometimes rode a bus past a synagogue in my home city of Vancouver. One time, there were little shelters or huts on the property made from leafy branches, and I wondered what that was all about. I learned later that they were celebrating the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. In Hebrews, this was Sukkot or Sukkoth, referring to booths or huts made from branches. Scholar Gary Burge notes that this was, quote, originally an agricultural feast. Tabernacles readily became a Jewish pilgrimage festival, which invoked God for badly needed rain and recognized the autumn equinox, end quote. What is this festival about? As we read the Lord's instructions in Leviticus 23, verses 33 to 43, we note that this festival began on the 15th day of the 7th month in Israel's calendar. It lasted 7 days, 8 if we include the additional Sabbath. Applying a couple of the guiding principles earlier identified in the podcast called Celebrating God's Grace, 5 Guiding Principles, we anticipate 1. This festival, being in the 7th month, will be fulfilled in the future return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And 2. This festival, being a 7-day celebration, will be fulfilled as a lifestyle or a continuing state of affairs, 7 days a week. This festival of tabernacles is mentioned numerous times in the Bible, each reference providing more information and a different perspective. For instance, we have already noted that Leviticus 23 gives us the core directions for this celebration. Here we are told something of the significance of this festival. Quote, "So your descendants will know that I had the Israelites live in booths when I brought them out of Egypt," end quote. That's Leviticus 23:43. This was a time for Israel to remember their community salvation story, the Exodus, during which God was present with them and provided for them in the Sinai wilderness. One of the features of this exodus from Egypt was God's generous provision of life-giving water from a rock. We read of 2 incidents, one in Exodus 17 and later in Numbers 20. In Numbers 29, verses 12 to 40, Israel is instructed concerning the sacrifices that were to be offered to the Lord during this festival. Deuteronomy 16, verses 13 to 17, highlights that this celebration took place after harvesting grain and grape. And in that context of God's provision, we read words like joy and bless reoccurring. For example, Deuteronomy 16, verse 15, "For the Lord your God will bless you in all your harvest and in all the work of your hands, and your joy will be complete." Let's listen to a few glimpses into the future. The Old Testament prophet Zechariah writes about elements associated with this festival of tabernacles that are still future. Remembering the provision of water as part of the Feast of Tabernacles, here's what Zechariah foretells of the future return of the Lord as a victorious warrior. Zechariah 14, verses 8 to 9. "On that day, living water will flow out of Jerusalem. The Lord will be king over the whole earth. On that day there will be one Lord, and his name the only name." Again, this festival recognizes the provision of the Lord, living water, and the presence of the Lord, king over the whole earth. Presence and provision. What are some of the significant events of this feast to our present? The only specific mention in the New Testament of the title Feast of Tabernacles is found in John 7, verse 2. At that celebration of the feast, Jesus arrived about halfway through as a party crasher, so to speak. Here's what John records in his Gospel, chapter 7, verses 37 to 39. "On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him,'" that is, from within Jesus. By this he meant the Spirit. Although there are different understandings of Jesus' words, I conclude with Bible scholar Gary Burge that, quote, "the water which would flow from beneath the temple would now flow from Jesus, the new temple. The inexhaustible mosaic supply of life-giving water in the wilderness could now be found in Jesus. In Jesus' person, one can find the fulfillment of all the Festival of Tabernacles expectations. End quote. In other words, Jesus Christ is now both the presence of God and the provision of God. And yet, the fulfillment of the Festival of Tabernacles is still future. How will this festival be fully realized? As we've been observing, two elements will be brought together for the people of God in the future, God's presence and God's provision. Let's consider the provision first. We've seen how God provided life-giving water to Israel in the wilderness. We've also seen how Jesus is now the source of that life-giving water. This water is no longer simply H2O, it is the Holy Spirit. In addition to the glimpse of the future given by Zechariah, we can also read texts such as Revelation 22, verses 1 and 2. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of nations. In these images, we are assured of the inexhaustible, life-giving provision of our extravagant God as a continuous state of affairs in the future. Second, we ponder the future realization of God's presence. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, Jesus said. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Ah, there it is, God's presence. He will come back, and he will take us to be with him, that we may be where he is. That is a statement of God's presence in the future. Here's a reflection. To the extent possible in an 8 or 9 minute podcast, I hope that I've conveyed something of the rich and practical significance of this festival as well as the others. Take some time to think about this festival and what it means for you. One focus is to contemplate the present possibilities of living in the kingdom of God now, even though it hasn't fully arrived. We can do that by walking and living in the Spirit that is provided to us in and through Jesus Christ. That's what he was talking about in John 7, verses 37 to 39. Note the language Paul also uses in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. We were all given the one Spirit to drink. How can you drink this provision of the Holy Spirit? Not just as one experience, but as a lifestyle, a continuing state of affairs, 7 days a week. And here's a second focus. It's to reflect on the present effects of the future expectation of being with the Lord Jesus Christ. So shall we ever be with the Lord. How does that expectation inform and strengthen your hope? Until our Lord comes again, how does that hope seep into and permeate the way you think and act here and now? May the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you.
You've been listening to John B. McDonald in Living Theology, a program designed to equip and encourage you to become more like Jesus Christ. Dr. McDonald has an extensive online writing ministry. To learn more about John and his work, follow the links on the producer's page at HopeStreamRadio.com.